is Christian work, if done by a Christian, as a Christian should do it.
Do you want to be happy today? The Bible says that a happy person finds wisdom and gets understanding. Elizabeth Elliot has spent decades helping women understand the wisdom of the Bible. Welcome to Gateway to Joy. Be challenged to live wisely as you hear once again from your friend, Elizabeth Elliot.
You are loved with an everlasting love. That's what the Bible says. And underneath are the everlasting arms. This is your friend, Elizabeth Elliot, talking again about a woman's work. I had a letter from a woman who called herself an ex-New Age feminist teacher coach. That's pretty good, isn't it? Ex-New Age feminist teacher coach. Since the Lord has saved me and my marriage, I'm staying home and homeschooling my 4-year-old daughter, and I hope there's another on the way. You helped to strengthen my faltering legs. Well, it's my job to try to give to you, my radio listeners, with God's help, one morsel per day of spiritual food. I want to give you, as I said the other day, eternity. And particularly to help you to see how to find eternity in your common duties, in the commerce of the kitchen or the office, the garden, the schoolroom, the carpool, the highways, and the sidewalks of your life. Eternity. God wants to feed you himself, not from one source only, but from many. It's my tremendous privilege to serve him by helping you. And we could never tell you how grateful we are for this privilege. And as we pray before we do the recording, we thank the Lord for it. I pray that you'll find the savor and presence of God in your joys and pains, in your perplexities and discoveries. Well, it's a big assignment to try to do this in the 11 and a half minutes that I have 5 days a week. I hope I've made it clear that all work is Christian work if done by a Christian as a Christian should do it. We might even say that all work is spiritual work when it is consecrated by a surrendered life. You who heard the series of programs on Amy Carmichael know how strongly she felt about all work being spiritual work. And she spent a great deal of time scrubbing diapers, fixing formulas for little Indian babies, and, as she said, cutting thousands of tiny fingernails and toenails. Spiritual work, when it is consecrated by a surrendered life. And what about sitting at a typewriter or a computer? What about balancing the books? What about taking dictation? I don't suppose anybody takes dictation anymore. I guess it all goes into a machine, but somebody has to take it off the machine. I don't know what your job is. Maybe you're a school teacher. Whatever the work is that God has given you to do, it can become spiritual work when it's consecrated by a surrendered life. If your life is a living sacrifice, then everything you do can be made an offering to God. Making a casserole for a family whose mother is sick. We call that sometimes charity. But what about making the same one for your family? Would you not think of it as charity? Charity means love, doesn't it? Are the meals that you serve at your house served with love? Or in a slapdash, grudging, hurried way? What about making a meal for your family? Can't it be spiritual work as well, all of it? There is one form of what we might call purely spiritual work in the highly specialized sense, and that form of work is available to all of us, men, women, boys, and girls. Do you know what that is? That spiritual work is prayer. It is the most sacred duty to which we are all called, prayer. It's cooperation with God. Not long ago, I had the tremendous privilege of having in my home one of God's great saints, Dr. David Morken. And when you're in the presence of Dr. Morken, you know that you're in the presence of God. In fact, somebody said about him the other day, he's one of those people that it would be hard to believe has any original sin. And as is usually my practice when I have an opportunity to meet some of these great people of God, I always want to ask questions. I always want to sit at their feet and learn from them. And as Dr. Morken sat in my living room with his wife and my husband and a few other people, I said, Dr. Morken, would you please tell me a little bit about your prayer life? And he sat quietly, sort of thinking and looking off into space. And he said, when I was a teenager, I had a tremendous thirst for God, so great that I got up at 4 o'clock in the morning and began to pray. And he said, I would pray for 4 hours until I had to go to class at 8 o'clock. Now, this was a teenager. And I said, and did you keep that up? Yes, he said, for 20 years. Now, he still prays, probably 4 hours or more, but he meant the 4 a.m. to 8 a.m. hours were sacrosanct for those 20 years. And then a few days later, I had a chance to see him again, and I said, I want to ask you some more about your prayer life. I said, how would you define it? And he said, it's cooperation with God. That's what it is. What we're doing is laying ourselves at his feet and saying, Lord, what do you want me to pray for? How can I help you do your work through prayer? And as Paul says in Romans, we do not know what to pray for as we ought, but the Spirit himself makes intercession for us in those groanings which never find words. And that just confirmed something that I believed the Lord had been showing to me, that my prayers were not me coming to God as though he were my opponent, and I'm beating on his door trying to get things from him that he's reluctant to give me. But my prayers are the highest privilege that I have, in which I offer myself to God for the life of the world, in which I come to him and say, Lord, how can I cooperate in your work in the world? And then he brings to mind things for which I need to pray. Well, I wish I could give you a picture of Dr. Morken's face. It was a face filled with peace, serenity, almost the face of Jesus. And I know that he would not want to hear me saying these things on public radio. He would probably disagree that any of it could be true, and yet I'm sure he was telling me the truth. And I know what I saw. And I saw there that radiance of a man who has been with Jesus. So the most sacred duty to which you and I are called is prayer. And it is a purely spiritual work that every single one of us can participate in. And we can pray while we're doing our work too, sometimes, can't we? Not all of our work requires all of our concentration. There are many forms of physical work and driving and walking that don't interfere with prayer. And I did ask Dr. Morken about his present prayer life, and he said, I do a lot of walking and praying. And I wanted to read you a quotation from an old book by Edward Myrick Goulburn. As far as human frailty will permit, each little trifling piece of duty which presents itself to us in daily life, if it be only a compliance with some form of social courtesy, should receive a consecration by setting God, his will, word, and providence before us in it, and by lifting up our hearts to him in ejaculatory prayer while we are engaged in it. Ejaculatory prayer is just a short, sort of an SOS prayer. Help me, Lord. Give me words to say. Show me what to do. Just a short ejaculatory prayer while we are engaged in our trifling little duties. And he goes on, the idea must be thoroughly worked into the mind and woven into the texture of our spiritual life, that the minutest duties which God prescribes to us in the order of his providence, a casual visit, a letter of sympathy, an obligation of courtesy, are not by any means too humble to be made the means of spiritual advancement, if only the thing be done as to the Lord and not to men. And Edward B. Pusey wrote this, learn to commend thy daily acts to God. So shall the dry everyday duties of common life be steps to heaven and lift thy heart thither. The dry everyday duties of common life can be steps to heaven. Or, may I say, they could be your gateway to joy.
Growing up, Elizabeth Elliot understood that studying the Bible is a vital priority for the Christian life. And ladies, we can also establish a solid foundation for our lives through daily Bible reading and prayer. Join us next time as we think about the eternal truth of God's Word here on Gateway to Joy. Anything, if offered to God, can and will become your Gateway to Joy. This has been a production of the Bible Broadcasting Network.